This podcast is brought to you by Living Waters Church, Kyabram.
You can visit us at www.lwkyabram.com.
Lord, our hearts, Lord, may they be open, Lord, to the seed that's sown. Lord, may our hearts be receptive, Lord, to truth spoken. Lord, so we pray tonight, Lord, that we would allow your word to do a work in our life, in your wonderful name. Amen. I mean, fantastic. Well, welcome to church. Great to see you tonight. I just like Saturday night. You know, Saturday is just, I don't know, I just got a good feel about it, got a good taste about it. And so, you know, I'm so glad that you have chosen to come out and join us on a Saturday night to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, honestly, church, there is so much happening in our community this weekend. That you know, I'm just excited by the fact that we're able to do church on a Saturday night. And so, you know, I just pray that as the word is spoken tonight, that you'll allow it to do something in your life. One of the things I'm very conscious of is the fact that the word is truth. You know, the word is living and active, sharp and edged, two-edged sword. But the other thing I'm very aware of is the fact that God does not thrust himself upon us. You know, God actually asks us to invite and to open our heart. And you know, there's a scripture in Revelation that I believe is often used in the wrong context, because it talks about the fact that, you know, Jesus is standing at the door and knocking, and if anyone will hear his voice and open the door, that he'll come in and he'll sup with them or have communion with them. And often that verse is used towards, you know, come on, open your heart in a sense of salvation. The problem I have with that is he's talking to the church. You know, he's actually talking to individuals within church, and he's saying, come on, church, open your heart, because he's banging on the door of our heart constantly to go deeper with him and to go to a new level and a new place with him. And so I'm very conscious that even though the word's truth, we need to allow the truth and his word to do a work in our life. You know, because if we're not allowing a work to happen in our life, you know, it's impossible for it to happen unless we have open hearts and open minds as well. So if you've got your Bibles tonight, let's turn to John chapter 8. I don't actually have a PowerPoint tonight. I ran out of time. So I'll say the scriptures and point slowly for you. Is that all right? Who's a talented person? Any talented people here tonight? I reckon you're all talented. You know, and so I think you're able to listen and write at the same time. So John chapter 8, and we're going to read verse 31 and 32. It says this: to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples. Verse 32, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I love when we live in truth. One of my pet peeves in life is when I'm talking to people and I know they're lying. It irritates me. It gets to a point, like, I had an experience this week where I had someone knock on our doors as a church, someone who was in need. And, you know, they said, you know, introduce themselves to me. I introduced myself to them and they said, look, you know, I'm in need. Can I get some petrol from you? I said, yes, I can give petrol to you. And then they asked if I could get them some groceries. And so this person said to me, I only need $20 worth of petrol. And I said, no worries, easy job. And so we jumped down the petrol station and we're starting to fill his car up with petrol. And he goes, oh, I said, okay, if I get 25. And I said, yep, no worries. Because, you know, I wouldn't have, if he would have asked for $50 worth of fuel, I would have given it to him. And so, you know, I'm thinking 25 is still a cheap deal as far as I'm concerned. But the problem was, as the conversation kept going, he kept talking and talking about different stuff. And in the end, I just got the sense that he wasn't really being truthful with me to the nth degree. Now, I gave him everything he asked for, because one of the things I do in life is that I try not to judge people's circumstance. I just try and take things at face value. I mean, if I'm confronting Chris tonight, it's dangerous to sit here, Chris. Yeah. if I'm confronting Chris tonight and you know, Chris, you know, did you siphon the petrol out of my car? And I know for a fact he does, or he has, not does, but he has, not in, this is just a story, okay? You know, just story, just make believe, you know. So, and if I know he has, and I'm confronting him on it, and he says, no, Pastor Trevor, I didn't, then, you know, it irritates me. Because when we live without truth, we actually live in bondage. We live in bondage to things. And I don't think just bondage to, you know, the lie, because we have to be really good if we're going to be liars. Because my experience in life is if I lie, I have to lie to cover the lie. And then I find I have to lie to cover that lie. And if I'm not careful, I lose track of what lie I've told to what person, and eventually I'm caught out. Eventually it shows up somewhere. And so one of the things I've learned in life, it's much easier to live in truth. It's much easier. In actual fact, the truth sets us free, the Word of God says. But it's interesting because I actually think this is another scripture, if we're not careful, can actually be misquoted in context. Because it says here, because what we got to do is when we read the Word of God, we have to read it in context. And it says this, to the Jews who believed in him, he said, if you hold to my teachings. I think that is a very important foundation for truth, setting us free. Because see, if we hold to the teachings of Jesus Christ, he declares we are and will be and continue to be his disciples. Then you will know the truth. See, you cannot know truth unless you hold to his teachings. That's the context of this. It's saying, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth. I actually don't think we know what truth is unless we go to the one that is the truth, the life, and the way. See, Jesus Christ declares about himself, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so here he is, he's challenging disciples. He's challenging Jewish people who have given up a form of religion and they've chosen to follow Jesus and be in relationship. So they've exchanged a religious form for a relationship. And he says that if you hold to my truth, if you carry out my teachings, talking about Jesus, not my teaching, because my teachings get corrupted some days, don't they? They do. We were just having a chat over lunch about how I love kids. And because, you know, kids are just so innocent, you know, and because, you know, and they just believe stuff. And, you know, I've got a couple of little really, you know, silly magic tricks I do for kids and they're just amazed, especially little kids because they can't work it out. I've got this one, I love doing it with little kids where I lay an egg. Because I want to tell you, when you're sitting on the ground clucking like a chicken, kids are fascinated. They are fascinated. And then when all of a sudden there's an egg appear, I want to tell you, bong, dinner plate eyes. Absolute dinner plate eyes. And they will look and they go, how did you do that? And I said, I'll show you again. See, this is what I love about kids is they don't pick up that the same egg's about to be laid. And so I'll do it again and they'll go, you know, you can see in their mind, are you a chicken? I can just see in your mind. And so then I say to them, you have a go. So they'll get down on there and they'll cluck like a chicken and, you know, I'll say to them, you're not clucking hard enough. You've got to cluck a little bit harder. And so they'll go for it, wings flapping and clucking away. And all of a sudden from behind them, an egg appears. And they look at it and they go. And I'm sure some of those kids go home to their mum and dad and say, I laid an egg today. So I just love about kids. They're just so innocent. And, you know, we need to live our life innocent. But you know what? They are living in the illusion that Pastor Trevor can lay an egg. They saw it, they experienced, but you know what? It's not the truth. It's a trick. Another one is I can eat a 20-cent piece and make it come out of their ear. They're fascinated. I have kids say to me, how do you do it? And I say, what happens is I eat it, goes down my leg, out my leg, through the toe, across the floor, into your toe, up and out your ear. They're fascinated. I was sharing today with someone. I reckon Aaron still doesn't know how that trick works. He's like, I don't know. I just don't know how that works. Get the chicken one, but not the coin. I just don't know. You know, and so, you know, the reality for them is what they believe might be a truth. But you know what? It's not the truth. It's an illusion. And unless we understand, unless we base our life on the truth, his teachings, the teachings of Jesus Christ, if we're not careful, we're just chicken laying eggs. We just walk around saying, hey, well, you know, this part of society, they're able to lay an egg, but really it's just a trick. You know why? Because it's not based on the truth. He says, if you're my disciples, says this, if you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. See, unfortunately, what's happening is sometimes in life we're trying to live by a truth and trying to be set free from a truth, but unless it's founded on the teachings of Jesus Christ, it will never set us free. It can't set us free. You know why it can't set us free? Because it's not truth. It might be a good idea. It might be a good plan. It might be something that's very noble, but unless it's based in the teachings of Jesus Christ, unless it's based in his will and his passion and his heart for us, then you know what? It's not truth. We will only know the truth that sets us free when we know his teachings, when we are his disciples. Let's jump across to Luke 19. So I want to talk about a guy called Zacchaeus. Anyone who's been in Sunday school and heard the Zacchaeus song, you've got it ringing in your ears right now. I like that clock tonight. Aaron says I got 17 hours to preach. It'll be a long night. Settle in. Because I just keep preaching until that thing turns red. That's all right. It doesn't need to change. I'm cool. It's all right. I know the time and the time will set you free. That's bad, isn't it? That is real bad. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Everyone say passing through. I want you to remember that. Right? I want you to remember the context of what Jesus is about to do. See, I think it's important. Luke actually records it for a reason, that Jesus' intention was to go to Jericho and to actually pass through Jericho. They were on their way to somewhere else. He had no plans of staying in Jericho that night. But something happened. Something caught his attention and made him stay the night in Jericho. Verse 2, a man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, look, Lord. Stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. If I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Now, we've got to understand that Jesus describes himself as truth. So in this story, I actually think that Zacchaeus was a man who was on a mission to become wealthy in the natural. He was a tax collector. Tax collectors were hated. Basically, the process was that when you entered the city, the perimeter of the city, there would be tax collectors there, and they would charge you a tax for going into the city. And so if you went into the city, the tax might have been set by the Romans, the governing authority, and they might have set that tax at $1.50. Well, often the tax collectors would charge $3 for people coming in. And what they would do is they would give the $1.50 to their authorities and they would keep the rest for themselves. They were corrupt. And you might say to me, well, all tax collectors are corrupt. No, that's not actually true. I am so glad that we get to honour and the privilege of paying tax in our nation. I actually don't mind that when I fill up my fuel, 40-something percent of that fuel goes to tax. You might say, you're mad. Why would you want to do that? Because we drive on roads that are provided from that money. You know, and you might say, yeah, but look at the state of our roads. Well, imagine if we didn't pay 40% tax on our fuel. We would be driving on dirt. You know, and so I've got no issues in paying tax at all because I believe that there's a benefit for society when we pay Caesar what's due to Caesar or to the government, what's due to the government. And so here's Zacchaeus, he's looking for Jesus. He's looking for truth. He's probably heard about this Jesus character. He's probably heard about the times when he's maybe even raised someone from the dead, or he's heard about the times when he's healed someone. He's heard about demons fleeing out his name. There's something about Jesus that attracts Zacchaeus to him. And so what happens is he hears that Jesus is coming to town, and so he wants to see him. Can I encourage you? We need to see Jesus to find truth. We will never find truth, like I said before, unless we follow his ways as disciples. We will never know what truth is. And I think that if we're to claim every place this year and into the coming years, we have to be people who live in truth. And so here's Zacchaeus. He's looking for Jesus. The problem is he was short and he wasn't able to see Jesus. I actually reckon that this is a spiritual statement about us, even in this place tonight. Because if we're not careful, some days for us to find truth, we actually fall short. You know, the Bible says this, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so really, we're all pygmies when it comes to Jesus Christ. We're all pygmies, we're all little, we fall short. You know, I don't like it being short in a crowd. I don't like it when there's something ahead of me that I want to see and I can't see because people are taller than me standing in front of me. I don't like it when I go to the cinema and I sit down in the seat with a clear view of the screen and some person with the hugest, biggest afro in the world comes and sits in front of me. It irritates me. I've had times when the cinema is almost empty and the tallest person in the world, Goliath, walks in, and as he walks in, he says, "Fee, fi, fo, fum." I see a seat in front of Pastor Trevor and sits in that seat. There might be 100 other seats, but he chooses to sit in the seat in front of me. Irritates me, not being able to see. Because you know what? It's scary when we can't see. It's not good when we can't see. When we're living our life and we're not sure what truth is, we have a problem. Because you can't live life just as stabbing in the dark when it comes to truth. Unless we know the truth, we can't be set free. Unless we know the truth, we have a problem. And so Zacchaeus chose to overcome his shortness. And he did it in quite a unique way. He chose to climb a sycamore tree. He didn't let obstacles get in his way for seeing Jesus. And you know what? If we're not careful, what happens in our life, we allow stuff to get in the way of us seeing the truth in Jesus Christ. Because again, I want to read it to you again because I think it's foundational for what I'm talking about tonight. Back in John chapter 8, it says, "To the Jews who had believed, Jesus said to him, 'If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" So Zacchaeus understood that he needed to find Jesus. He needed to see who Jesus was because he knew that Jesus had the truth. The second thing I love about this account of Zacchaeus and Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. Yeah, I think it's interesting because remember we started this message by me asking you to remember the fact that Jesus' intention was to pass through Jericho. That was his intention. But what happened was when Jesus got to the place where Zacchaeus was, when he got to the place of the sycamore tree, he looked up, he stopped, he paused, and he actually called Zacchaeus by name. He actually called Zacchaeus by name. So not only was Zacchaeus looking for Jesus, I believe that Jesus is looking for those who are hungry. For those who want to meet him, you know what? Jesus was there for him. He was exactly in the right place at the right time. So here's Zacchaeus looking for truth. Look, you know, our world is looking for truth. Our world is looking to find out what truth is. Unless we come back to the Word of God, we will never live a free life. Why? Because the Word of God sets us free, because he is truth. He is truth. So Jesus, not only is Zacchaeus looking for truth in Jesus, but Jesus is looking for those who are hungry to find the truth. You know what that does to me? That makes my heart glad, because what it means is that when I seek and search after him, he's willing to find. He's willing to find those who seek with a hungry heart after him. The third thing I see about this story is this, is that Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. I don't know whether you've ever had someone invite themselves to your house. You know, all of a sudden it's like, because, you know, I love the fact that, you know, Jesus is talking to Zacchaeus. He says, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. There's an open invitation for everyone who wants Jesus to stay at their house. And you might say, you know, I mean, at my physical location. No, in your heart. Because the Bible says this. The Bible says that he wants, that the Holy Spirit wants to make residence in our life. You know, no longer does God, no longer does Jesus Christ dwell in buildings or in tabernacles. See, in the Old Testament, what would happen is if you wanted to encounter the presence of God, you had to go to a temple to encounter the presence of God. In the New Testament, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the temple veil was torn from top to bottom, and it gave us access into the presence. And Jesus makes an amazing statement about the fact that he comes to dwell in the hearts of men. You know, Jesus is willing to dwell in our heart. We just need to open the door. And when we open the door, you know what? He comes in freely. He comes in freely. Remember that scripture I said earlier, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, I stand at the door. You know what? He wants to. He wants to come. He wants to be. And so Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' place. And I reckon the invitation is still relevant today. You know what? He wants to come and commune with us. He wants to come and reside with us. The fourth thing about this story, and the last thing about this story that we're going to look at tonight, is this, that I am so glad that Zacchaeus was willing to host Jesus. He was willing to host him. See, it's one thing to want to be, but it's another thing to actually have a willing heart to allow. You know, before I started preaching tonight, I said about the fact that if you want to be affected by truth, we have to be open to the truth. I think it's interesting about belief, because we believe all sorts of crazy things. Don't we? As human beings, I'm talking. As human beings, we believe all sorts of crazy things. And we choose to believe some stuff that is really out there. We choose to believe some stuff that it's like, you know, in actual fact, some of the beliefs out there in our society, I believe it takes more faith than it does to even believe in Jesus Christ. You know, and so here's Jesus, Zacchaeus saying, come on. Come on, Jesus. And what he did was, I don't know what Zacchaeus had planned for the rest of that day. I don't know what Zacchaeus had planned for the rest of that evening. But you know what he did was he opened his heart and he opened his place to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He allowed truth to come in. Now, we get a bit, very abbreviated version of what happened that day. Because I would have loved to have been sitting around Zacchaeus' table that night and heard what Jesus and Zacchaeus spoke about. I reckon they would have talked about all sorts of things, and Zacchaeus became a host to the presence of God. That invitation is here tonight. We can host the presence of God. The Bible says this, that when we open our heart to him, when we accept him as Lord and Savior of our life, when we repent of our sin, you know what? He comes into our lives. He comes and makes residence with us. And the thing I love about this story is Zacchaeus, right from the moment one, showed fruits of repentance. He makes an amazing statement, because we're going to understand that Zacchaeus the tax collector, was wealthy with other people's money. Because it's no secret, and I shared it before, about the fact that the tax system in that day was very corrupt. And so he makes a statement. First of all, he says, I will give half my possessions away to the poor, which for a tax collector probably isn't a big deal, because he's really given ill-gotten money away. And so it's probably not a huge deal. But he says this, he says, if I've wronged anyone of anything, I will repay them four times the amount. Now, I can guarantee that Zacchaeus had wronged people many things. You know, I reckon Zacchaeus had probably even wronged Jesus as he entered the city courts some days. And so here he is. He says, look, this is what I will do. This is what I will do. See, Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. Jesus was looking for him. Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house, and Zacchaeus was willing to host him. But honestly, church, all that means nothing without repentance. All that means nothing without turning from an old lifestyle and choosing to follow Jesus Christ with all our life, with all our heart, with all our will. Means absolutely nothing. The Bible actually says this: what would a man give in exchange for his soul? In exchange for salvation, what are we willing to give? I want to tell you, there's a moment where I believe every human being will stand before God. Every human being will stand before God and have to give an account for their life. And in that moment, I reckon human beings will say, I wish I could go back and make better decisions. I wish I could go back and follow the truth and not all the other junk that the world follows after. I wish I could just go back and make some other choices. You know why? Because the truth sets us free. The truth sets us free. And if you're in earshot of my voice tonight, you have an opportunity to receive truth in this place tonight. And that truth is this, that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of our life and is wanting to come and have a relationship with us. So Zacchaeus says, look, I will. Look, I will do this. Look, I will do this. I want to ask you tonight, what are you willing to give up for him? Because honestly, in my life, I'm willing to give up everything for him. Some days I'm better at that than others, but I'm willing to give it all up for him. You know why? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. Let's all stand up tonight.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast from Living Waters Church, Kyabram.
Don't forget, you can find us at www.lwkyabram.com.